What an amazing day we celebrate together as the church. Amen. He is risen. And sin has been defeated on the cross. Its curse has been broken by Jesus. And now on Easter morning, the tomb is empty. The stone has been rolled away. Death could not hold the author of life. There is no greater celebration, is there? As we remember, as we give thanks, as we worship our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, who gave his very best for us, so that we might have life. Luke chapter 24, verse 1 through 12, tells us of the very morning as the women went to the tomb to embalm the body or to put spices on Jesus' body. And listen what it says in verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, bending over. He saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you this morning that we can look into your word together. And we pray, Father God, that you would just bless us now as we celebrate on this Easter morning, as we look into your word, Father, as we read this account. We just want to lift high the name of Jesus. Father, we want to praise your name, that death could not hold him. Father, that the grave could not hold the author of life. And we pray, Lord God, that you would just bless us now as we look together. Father, that your spirit might move, that lives might be changed this morning. Father, it might be fertile ground for the seed to settle and to grow. We ask all of these prayers in and through our Saviour's precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So the women got the spices ready to go and anoint Jesus' body. As Friday was preparation day, and of course Saturday was the Sabbath. So now then, on the first day of the new week, Sunday morning at dawn, they head to the tomb. Can you imagine the emotion? Put yourself in the picture. They have just witnessed a horrific scene. Somebody who was innocent nailed to a cross, a crown of thorns thrust upon his head. They have seen Jesus give up his spirit. Remember, they couldn't take it from him. He gave up his spirit. He gave his very last breath, as we saw on Friday night, for you and for me. Their heartache, their sorrow in this moment must have been almost overwhelming. But they knew that they needed to go and do what was right according to the Jewish tradition. So with sadness and sorrow in their hearts, their task ahead would be heavy on their minds. And they arrive then, and if you read in some of the other Gospels, they have a conversation on the way to the tomb. How are we going to move the stone? Anybody ever had a pointless conversation? My wife would argue many. Most of them with me. But what a pointless conversation. How are we going to move the stone? How are we going to get in there? Do you think the guards are going to move it for us? They've put a seal around it, but we need to do this. and the heartache and the worry about the moment. But when they get there, the stone is already rolled away. And they enter the tomb and they realize that Jesus' body is not there. The questions they must have had. Where on earth have they put him? Why would they do this? Why would they do this to us? Was Friday not enough? And as they're wondering about these things then, the angels appear. Verse 5 and 6. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." If you can imagine the emotion in the moment, and of course the emotion swing that happens, all of a sudden in the tomb, worrying, how are we going to do what we need to do? Now, there are two men stood in the tomb with them, clothes shining as white as lightning, saying to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Just a quick one. We were there on Friday. John records for us that the women stood at a distance throughout the whole process. They saw the whole thing. As the Roman soldiers went up and broke the legs of the guys on his left and his right, they went to Jesus and realized that he'd already died. And they put a spear in his side and out flowed blood and water. And to an executioner, he knows they're dead. As the heart has filled, as the sack around the heart is filled with water. They were there for that. Of course we've come to the tomb. Where else would we go? Jesus died. We were there for it. And the angels say to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." I can't even begin to put myself in that emotion. I've tried. And it's almost impossible, I would argue, to realise what's going off there. And they then say this to them as we go on to the second half of verse 6. "Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, he said, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" And the word says, and then they remembered. Can you imagine that? They remembered the words of Jesus. Hang on a minute. I heard him say it, but it didn't really sink in the moment. We didn't really know what he was saying. To be quite honest, we had no idea. We just smiled. But in Luke chapter, just back a few pages, Luke chapter 9, we can hear Jesus say these things. The title is Jesus Predicts His Death. Luke chapter 9 and verse 21. Just prior to that, Peter has said, "You are the Messiah, the Christ." And Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said this: "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teacher of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Jesus has told them about this moment. But nothing, I would argue, could prepare them for this moment. Nothing could prepare them for what was now being told to them. God had made it clear, not just to these women here, but to all of those to this point. Jesus told them, he predicted what would happen, but Isaiah, hundreds of years prior to this, prophesied about Jesus and his ministry. How could, as we'll see now in Isaiah, how could Isaiah possibly know what he's writing here? Let's just read Isaiah chapter 53. It's just 12 verses. It says, "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his presence that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Listen to this. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Which points to his tomb. Joseph of Arimathea, a wealthy guy, gave Jesus his tomb. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. How could Isaiah possibly know unless God and the Holy Spirit was illuminating his heart? It's impossible. God had made it clear for all people to see. Yet still, the elders and the chief priests rejected him. Their eyes and their ears were closed. What about us this morning? What about you and me? Are we listening? Can we see? Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. Surely he took up our sin and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken and afflicted by him. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. You know, perhaps the Easter account, maybe Easter itself, has never been that relevant to you. I mean, we like the chocolate. Okay, we love the chocolate. The chocolate is good. But Easter is so much bigger than that. Easter is a celebration for those of us that know and love the Lord, that all he has done for us on the cross. Maybe it's never been personal for you before, yet Isaiah shows us how personal it is. He took up our pain, he bore our suffering, bearing the full wrath of God, pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Yet his punishment, church, has brought our peace. And the Bible says, and by his wounds we are healed. That as we put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we say sorry for our sin, by his wounds we are healed of sin and its curse. Easter, church, is personal. God in flesh, Jesus, took upon himself our sin and our shame. He took our place defeating sin. He was raised to life and he defeated death, just as Isaiah said and Jesus himself said that this would happen. Our Saviour has defeated sin and death. And church, he has done all of this for you. He has done all of that for you. He did it because of love. He did it because of unconditional love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. He did it for you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And he went to the cross for you. Church, we have the opportunity to accept Christ as our Saviour. We have the opportunity to say sorry for the sin in our life. And we know how we're all in the all, do we not? Maybe you have been looking, trying to find that missing piece, desperate to fill it with something, desperate to find that piece that you do not seem to be able to find anywhere. Let me tell you this morning, his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And he has made a way for you to come back into a relationship with a holy and perfect God. Jesus did all of this for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the work of the cross. Father, that it was your will that the Lord Jesus Christ would suffer, that he would take upon himself our sin and our shame. And Father, there he would deal with it once and for all. That if we were to put our faith and our trust in you, that if we were to say sorry for our sin and ask you into our heart, that Father, we can come back into a relationship with you. That promise, Lord God, that we have. And I ask, Lord God, this morning, that as we've shared your word, as we've shared the good news of the gospel, that your Holy Spirit might move. Father, that lives might be changed. Those that came in this morning with a missing piece in their heart would go out filled with the love of a Saviour who has given his very best for the very worst of us. Father, we just thank you again for your word. And we pray, Lord, as we carry on in our worship together, as we enjoy singing and bringing praise to you, we pray, Lord, that you would bless us. We ask these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen.